Yasmin Reza has been a guest on this show a couple of times to talk about her plays Art and Lifetimes 3 and her extended essay about French President Nicolas Sarkozy. Her latest offering, God of Carnage, which is at the Bernard B. Jacobs Theater on West 45th Street, features the all-star cast of Jeff Daniels, Hope Davis, James Gandolfini, and Marcia Gay Harden. And it's already one of the biggest hits of the current Broadway season. The play won the Olivier Award when it was staged in London, was recently nominated for 2 Outer Critics Circle Awards here in New York. And joining me now to talk about God of Carnage are Jeff Daniels and Marcia Gay Harden. She just received a Drama Desk nomination for Best Actress. Congratulations and welcome to our show.
Thanks very much.
Now, this play was originally written in French and then translated into English by Christopher Hampton for the British version. Wasn't it set in Paris for both of those productions?
It was set in Paris. They have this wonderful way of doing theater in England where if the actors, the British actors, speak, of course, in British English and say they're Parisians, the British accept them. But here in this country, we knew that unless we were all speaking like this and whatnot, they would never accept the four of us as Parisians. And more importantly, we wanted it to feel really accessible to our audiences, that they could identify with it, so we made it American.
I was also wondered whether British audiences might not have a hard time believing that upper-middle-class Londoners would behave so poorly. They might think the French do or people in Brooklyn do.
True.
Did either of you get to see that production in London?
I didn't know. I think Jim Gandolfini, I think, saw it. He was the one, and that's when Jim kind of fell in love with the play and inquired about doing it here in the States, and happily the producers said, yeah, we'll put some people around you, Jim. And Marcia came in right away, and Hope came in, and I was the last one that they herded.
Mm-hmm. Did you spend any time with Yasmin Reza or Christopher Hampton?
We had this fantastic opportunity, so unusual in the world of film and television and theater even, where they asked the four of us actors to volunteer 3 days, and we would talk about the play. And it's unusual to have the time to discuss meaning at all. Yasmin came, Christopher Hampton, who translated the play, was there, Matthew Warchus, the director, all the actors, and some the producers showed up. It was just an early sign of how much they were supporting the language and keeping the language truthful.
Had it been Americanized by then?
No. That was the four actors. This particular group I just mentioned, that's what we did. And you'll end up discussing things like, well, would I say, would you like to use the restroom? Would you like to use the bathroom? Or would we say toilet? And it sounds so banal, but it became discussion because I would never say bathroom to someone that I had just met. I would say restroom. Gandolfini's like, what, are you kidding me? You'd say bathroom. Why did you say bathroom? I said, well, bathroom is vulgar. And then you understand that in every language, in every country, and in every strata, there are different ways to approach something. Or Jeff talks often about the value of the k. It's the gorgeousness of language. The k is a pop, and there's a lot of words like care and Kalashnikov and Kinshasa and k, k, k. Or why would you choose a word that has a P in it rather than an M? And that was what we were talking about that day.
You're almost being playwrights.
Well, yeah, but that was the danger. You know, you didn't want to be, rewrite her play. Mm-hmm. You wanted to just Americanize it. So if in the British script it was, shall I get you a drink, we would convert it to, would you like a drink? You know, things like that. And when it came to, ooh, we're starting to rewrite, you know, one of us would raise our hand and go, why don't we email Yasmina, you know? And so, but yeah, we were real good about being able to just kind of Americanize it and stick with that.
Well, that might be a temptation for you because you've also written plays, haven't you?
Yeah, but I'm smart enough to just one of the great things about having written is that you know you're not hired to write it. You're hired to be the actor. And so that's what I'm doing. And, you know, I let someone else write it and someone else direct it.
Didn't I read that this play was originally produced in Germany even before it was staged in France and England?
I think it was in Berlin. Mm-hmm. And I think there was a lot of nudity. That's what we understand. Very German sort of stark. And
well, so they Germanized it.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. They Germanized it. The European plays always have a fair amount of nudity that we don't get in America.
I'm not sure how I see that works in this, but, you know, I'd be interested in seeing it.
When Jeff's character, Alan, goes to change, he's apparently sort of showering, actually, on stage, and putting his underwear on and whatnot and coming back on stage.
Oh, good God.
Yeah, don't you want to do that now?
Yeah, great, yeah. I'm out.
Ralph Fiennes played your character, Alan, didn't he? And Janet McTeer played your character, Veronica. Mm-hmm. So what about you now going to the West End and playing Mary Stuart?
I don't think Janet would let that happen.
True.
So you were brought on. How long before? Because you're all working actors with major careers in your own right, asked in this play to work very much in an ensemble way. Is it a relief to not have to carry a play on your own?
I suppose, as far as workloads go, what's great about an ensemble, you can see it from the script. God of Carnage is a four-hander. And
every one of these characters is complicated, and we both like them and dislike them at different times.
Yeah, but from an actor point, everybody scores. And what's great about the chemistry, which we've happily been told we have this great chemistry, it's a magical word that really is just actors listening to each other. And that's what we four people do so well. And not only listen, but we use and, within the characters, abuse each other. We are only as good as the other three. And every night we're bringing it. Nobody phones it in. Nobody gives up. Nobody just cruises. And that's what's so wonderful about it. You know, it's the same every night, but it's alive every night, and that's because we listen.
How does a long run affect acting in something like this, where you do have to keep it fresh?
So far, our run isn't very long. We were in it through July, although repeating something every night on some level, one might think it's long, but a Broadway show can go for a year or 2 years with the same cast.
I think this
one
is a big enough hit that they would want that.
This is a pretty good hit. For people who are listening who haven't seen it, it's an hour and a half with no intermission as well. So when you talk about a four-hander, everyone is on the stage almost all the time. And it starts at a certain level, and then at a certain moment, it goes from 0 to 60, and it never stops again. You're in flight. And to answer your question earlier, Leonard, it's so much fun. It's fun not to be in a star vehicle. Not that I've been in many star vehicles anyway, but this is fun. This is you throw the ball at somebody and, oh my gosh, he gave me a spin, and now I'm going to underhand it to somebody and they threw it. It's so much fun. And for the audience, it's fun.
Because all actors are so highly skilled. I'd imagine that there have been times in your careers when you've been with people who were not as good as you would have liked. Is that a drag?
Yeah, and I'll happily name them.
in your memoir, anyway.
Yeah, well, you find yourself acting for two people, and no one can succeed doing that. And that was one of the things that attracted me to this, was that, again, the other three were already in, and just on paper you're going, this is the good group.
Had you ever worked with them before?
Marcia and I had done a reading, I think, before Hope. I was sort of ships in a night passing in a movie where we didn't have any scenes. We were in the movie together, and Jim I'd never met. But all three of these people are really known as really, really good actors, and that's just a group you want to be involved in.
And what about the director, Matthew Warchus, who has done physical comedy before? He had a great hit with Boeing, which in some ways has similarities to this, although they're quite different. This is, I would say, a more seriously written play.
Well, there's characters in Boeing that, in order for the comedy to work, have to be caricature. That's the setup, and you don't know that when you first go in, but then you discover it when there's the trilogy of the characters presented. In God of Carnage, Matthew suggested to us that it should feel documentary-esque and that it should be dark. I think what makes him a great director for me is that Matthew never says no, and he understands your resistance. In fact, he'll say, well, you're not the first person who's felt trouble in that particular spot, and it's quite normal that you would be wondering why your character would go to the door. But I'd like you to explore the possibility of your character might like to flee at this moment. And you say, okay. And you feel great about doing something that it wasn't your instinct to do. He also has an uncanny way of allowing an actor's process to continue after he's gone. There's things that Matthew would say to me that simply have to do with, you might like to find yourself in the vicinity of Jeff, or it would be good if you were sitting next to Hope in this spot. You never knew why. The play opened, you're doing it. And all of a sudden, a line sinks in and resonates, and you go, oh, I get it. I just realized today that my character, James Gandolfini, and my character...
You're the married couple, and
married
Jeff
couple
is married
to Hope
Davis.
That we've been having discussions about divorce. I just realized that because of something that I heard today. I thought, I bet we have. That's late in the game for me to be thinking this, but you know what? Nothing has to change. Something just sinks in. And that's exciting.
It's a sign of a good play, too.
I think so. On the surface, don't you think, Jeff? It seems like it's the rapids, you know. You're going down a level 5 rapid or whatever. And then if you really allow it, the water trickles under. It's a deeper. It is a commercial play. It's a great commercial play. But there's water that trickles deeper that makes you question what you stand for in your country. And I think that's great.
Matthew Warchus is also now represented by the Norman Conquests, which is another one of those ensemble productions. So he's particularly good at that sort of thing. And you're suggesting that he gives you all sorts of subtle direction that allows you to work as an ensemble better, just where you stand. There are some hilarious bits of physical comedy in this play. I don't know how much of it, thinking about Boeing Boeing, I don't know how much of it is in the script and how much of it is the sort of thing that just develops as part of the putting it together.
Well, I think all of it's found. Certainly some of it, not all though, was done in London a year ago. But he's what makes Matthew, one of the things I think is that he allows you, he's interested in what the play inspires in you, and he doesn't cookie cutter you. He doesn't, here's the mold, kind of fit into this. He is wide open to what it might do for you. However, here's something that works just in case you're completely lost. And so he always used what he did before as kind of a backup, and kind of waited for us to find it or explore. Mm-hmm. And we found new things. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think we found new things.
And physical, he would simply say, go further. Mm-hmm. You can trust going further. And that if you're committed to the truth of your anger or your frustration or whatever it is, the largeness of it is not, won't be egg on your face. In fact, it'll be resonant and it will likely be funny.
And going further is a major part of this. It involves a dispute between two couples, children, and then they get together to try to figure out how to handle it. But they wind up doing some pretty childish things. Mm-hmm. They throw things, they chase and jump on each other. There's the adult version of stealing someone's toys when Annette Hope grabs your phone, your cell phone. It must have been fun getting in touch with your infantile side.
Thank you, Leonard. It was an easy access for me. For some
of course.
Strange I was already
reason.
There.
For some strange reason. But, what was fun also about the rehearsal process is that Matthew never had to say, I need you people to be more emotional, more passionate. I need you to let go. We were, from day one, we were ripping. And that's great fun. You know,
it was fun. We couldn't contain ourselves in some rehearsals. We had a great time.
My guests are Marcia Gay Harden and Jeff Daniels, two of the four stars, along with James Gandolfini and Hope Davis of God of Carnage, which is now at the Bernard B. Jacobs Theater on West 45th Street. I suspect that the sight of someone vomiting has never gotten so many laughs, and much has been written about Hope Davis's projectile vomiting moment in the play. Ben Brantley even warned his readers about that in his review. Do either of you care to tell us how that happened technically? I asked Jeffrey Rush how his hair turned from blonde to white earlier. He refused.
I can tell you it happens beautifully. And that's as much as I'll say.
It's a wonderful little magic trick, sleight of hand, mm-hmm. and that we can't believe that you can't see it. But
mm-hmm. I'm sure I've guessed at it, but I don't know.
No, well, I mean, you know, and there is certainly you can see or be aware of a little bit of it. However, a friend of mine came to see it 3 times before he said, okay, I think it's this. And he was close.
Mm-hmm. That, again, is part of the whole physicality of this play. I'm thinking of Boeing, which had so much physical comedy, but had a lot of people going in and out of doors. This doesn't have that. Do you like doing physical comedy? First of all, Marcia, you have I never think of you as somebody connected with comedy. I think of you as Angels in America, The Seagull, Pollock, Mystic River. I'm getting teary
drama.
Just thinking about all of the things you've worked in.
I love comedy. And I think that in each of these particular films that you've mentioned, there are moments that are comedy. I like farce as well. I think of Boeing as more of a farce. And I think ours, I'll coin Matthew's term for it, Gone of Carnage is a tragic, it's a comic tragedy.
Mm-hmm.
It's a comic tragedy. I think in Angels there were moments that sang like that, and there are certainly moments in even in The Mist or that sing with comedy. But it's hard, and it's wonderful when you can have a body of work that allows for all of it.
Are there specific skills you have to call on when you're working on a comedy?
When you're working in a play, for sure, verbal skills, articulation skills, timing, right?
But you can't play for the laugh. The minute you start playing for the laugh, doesn't that kind of clue the audience?
Matthew gave us a great direction before he left. He goes, the play that the audience is watching is not the play you're doing. So we hang on to the straight, playing it straight, to the drama, to the tragedy, to the darkness of it. That allows it to be twice as funny as if it would be if we started to chicken wing it and started to lean towards the audience and the laughs. Comedy is not everyone can do it. If you aren't born with timing, forget it. Can't be taught. But the thing that's fun about comedy for me is that there's a precision to it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a smaller target because you can get away with more in drama. You can look up into the light, and if they put the right music under you, and you can be thinking about where you're going to eat tonight, and the next thing you know, people are crying. Can't do that. You have to be funny, and you have to do it in an intelligent way that doesn't get caught going for the joke.
Although there are different kinds of comedy. You've been in Squid and the Whale, a very subtle kind of comic role, and then you've been in Dumb and Dumber.
Yeah.
But Dumb and Dumber points, don't you think?
Proudly. I think it's kind of like structure. The structure of a play or a story is that. And that's why I think a lot of movies are so bad is because they're so formulaic and you see the structure like, speed bumps along your story. Hide it. The best playwrights, Yasmina and others, hide the structure. Hide going for the joke. Hide the setup. Hide the punchline. Hide the fact that you're laying out this word in the joke to get the laugh. Hide it, And that's what I think we do really well in God of Carnage.
Did both of you begin in theater? I know, Jeff, you have a theater back in Michigan called The Purple Rose, named after, I assume, a movie, the Woody Allen film.
Yeah, that movie meant a lot to me. It was a turning point for me, so I named the theater after that, happily.
Mm-hmm. But did you begin in theater? Is this something that you feel you just have to keep on going back to? Some actors do. Others are perfectly happy to have just maintain movie careers.
I love doing movies, the thing about the theater is I've always been I feel like a theater rat who's done 50 movies. And it's more interesting often. And you are at the whim sometimes of, a junior executive who decides that you're this and that's all you get for 2 years. And when you're tired of doing that for them, then the theater is usually always there. And the theater doesn't care as much about what you look like or the fact that you're not 29 years old anymore. And the theater allows you to do, like you were talking with Jeffrey Rush earlier, this incredible performance that Jeffrey Rush gives in Exit the King. That's a great, great role that the theater allows you know, the character actors, you know, the actors who are in there not to play an image but to play something they've never done and become that person. The theater is more open to that than film.
And Jeffrey Rush talked about how Susan Sarandon wanted to go back on the stage because it took her out of her comfort zone. And she needed the challenge.
I can't speak to that because that's, I think, what a personal thing that Susan would, you know, that's her deal. But for me, not at all. Theater is a comfort, big, big fat comfort zone. It's so much fun. And it allows also everything Jeff said. Me too, theater rat who's done 50 movies. But the theater allows for a relationship with work, with structure, with language that oftentimes film and television don't, because they're asking themselves to be more naturalistic. They don't need to, but they do. So the theater allows for something completely different to happen with language, and because of that, something different happens with energy and with rhythm and with structure and with the way even the set looks. There's an artistry to it that is somehow the field is more open. I don't know why, but it's true.
And there's also the audience. I know from my own experience, if I do an interview, if we were doing this interview in front of an audience, it would be different because mm-hmm. we would be getting responses from mm-hmm. the audience, including laughs at certain places, and that immediately changes the way that we connect to each other.
It's a conversation with the audience, and you have to hold on to your play, and that's what Jeff was saying earlier. You got to hold on to it, but it is a conversation. You know, here's something really funny that people wouldn't know unless you're up there doing it. There are certain transitions that happen in the play that in rehearsal we were absolutely unable to make them, and then the audience comes in, and over their laugh a transition happens amongst the actors. You look at someone, you turn your body, your character goes through something slightly different that allows you to get to the next moment. It was so abrupt in rehearsal. They're part of the play, and they don't even know that, and I love that as well.
You also are a singer-songwriter, Jeff, aren't you? We have
on occasion.
New, mm-hmm. We have a new CD. We're going to actually go out with something from it.
Good.
Well, don't put it on record if you don't want people to hear it.
Happy to do it. I really enjoy it. Anything I make from these CDs goes to my theater company, so that's one of the reasons I came out.
And what's up next for both of you? This is running through July, you say?
Yes. I think we don't know.
We don't know.
Maybe Jeff does. I don't know. All hope, James, myself, and Jeff, we're looking at the possibility of what would it be like to extend, but we all have other things. And Hope and I have very young children, James actually too, a 9-year-old. So being a theater actor and having children, we've all discovered, is a really tough thing. It's tough. When I did it before, I was single. Sure, it was easy to be out every night and doing a show and weekends taken. Who cares? Now that's exactly family time. So the discussion is a very important family discussion. It's not. There's no glamour to it.
we're really enjoying the success of Carnage. The audiences at Carnage. It doesn't happen very often when we get reviews like this and audiences like that. So I think everybody, the four of us, are just enjoying the run that we have. We're enjoying it every night because it doesn't happen like this all the time.
And God of Carnage by Yasmina Reza is at the Bernard B. Jacobs Theater, 242 West 45th Street. It stars Jeff Daniels, Marsha Gay Harden, James Gandolfini, and Hope Davis. And I want to thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks, Leonard.
Never sang a song I never liked. But you ain't gonna listen if I'm afraid to say it. And you won't tap your feet if I'm afraid to play it. If I can't be real, well, I promise I'll fake it. Besides, half you're gonna love it, the other half gonna hate it. But is that...